Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. It's a wonderful day. It's God's holy day, and I'm very excited to be here to speak to you about what God has laid on my heart. I guess I could say I'm a little bit nervous. I've never done this on YouTube. This is all new to me, so if you'll just bear with me, I would appreciate that. I hope your day is going well, and we thank God for this precious day. So before we go get started with this, let's get with God in prayer, and let's speak to Him first. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much. We thank You for Your holy word. We thank You that You are here with us today, that two or more together, You are there with us, Lord. And I know that they are out there. There are those who are keeping the Sabbath holy for You, and You are honoring that. And we are so grateful to have You as our Lord. And I ask that Your Holy Spirit will lead me and guide me to speak on Your behalf of what You want me to say. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, all right. Years ago, let me tell you a story first. Years ago, I always like to talk about my mom because there's so many good stories about my mom. But my mom loved to chase fires. Well, let me rephrase that. You've heard of ambulance chasers? Well, my mom was a fire truck chaser. She loved fire. Anytime she saw a fire truck going down the road with the sirens blazing and the lights flashing, wherever we were going, she would stop what she's doing and she would chase that fire truck. She had to know where the fire was. And it was just an excitement to her. So we chased many fire trucks when I was a kid growing up in our day. And a lot of times she just wanted to see where it was, what was going on. But sometimes she knew that person. And of course, my mom, she's going to stop and see what she can do to help. She was that kind of person, still is to this day. But she always loved chasing fire trucks. That was just an excitement for her. She had a fire in her for fires. And I think I kind of have that fire bug in me too. Bill says that I like to play in the fire and burn fire. So maybe I got that from my mother. I don't know. But she loved doing that. She loved fires. And, you know, the Bible, in Bible history, we have a great fire that we love to talk about. And that fire is the fire of the Holy Spirit. And so let's turn in Acts chapter 2. We know this famous verse, which is beautiful to us. And it says, chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to go verse 1 through 8 and read that. So, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there were appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" And of course, skipping on down a little further, it said, we hear, of course, you know, named all the languages, but further down it says, "We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Now, this was something they never had a clue about. This just a shock to them. So amazingly, this was no ordinary fire that was causing this to happen. Something divine had happened that Jesus had promised. And because they were obedient to Jesus, because his exact instructions was not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait. He said that he fulfilled his promise to them. He said that. He said he truly is God, and he is true to his word. And so his promise came through. And of course, you all know the rest of the story where over 3,000 people speaking through other tongues, 3,000 were saved that wonderful day. So it's such a wonderful story, and you think, why don't we have this happen like this today, you know? Because, you know, that fire had to come. That fire had to be there because Jesus said it would. In Matthew 3, John the Baptist is talking to the people, and he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. There is a spiritual baptism, he is saying, of the Holy Spirit. A spiritual fire and cleansing of us. That's what it is. It cleanses us. Also, fire in the Old Testament talks about how it refines and it purifies. And Jesus wants to refine and purify us and put the fire of the Holy Spirit in us, to dwell in us. The Holy Spirit is that fire that warms and brings life to our soul. So who is this Holy Spirit? Well, let's look at John chapter 14 and verse 26. And I'll wait a few moments or a few seconds. Give you time if you want to look that up. John chapter 14, verse 26. Okay. It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all things that I said to you. He is, of course, he is our Helper, first of all. He is sent to us by our Heavenly Father. And he is here to teach us all things that are according to the things Jesus taught in Scripture. So whatever he says, it has to line up with what Christ taught. It cannot deviate in the least bit. So it's always pointing to Christ. That's what he's doing at all times. Everything he does is pointing to Jesus and his teachings. He's never pointing to himself. He's always pointing to Christ. Any spirit that brings an exaltation of self is not the Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit is not selfish. He is unselfish. As we read Acts 2, how the church became a lit fire for Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, and brothers and for sisters, the fire of the church is not just any fire. That's the thing, is the fire of the church was not meant for just the early times. It's been meant to burn in us now, right now, to show the gospel to the world. That's what the purpose of the Holy Spirit is. And some of you may be saying, how can we be a church on fire when we are not having church or Sabbath school right now? Well, it's temporary. You know, I promise you, we will be open again. And our Sabbath school classes will soon be back up and running. That's the truth. You know, we were just about to get started again, but you know, circumstances happen, and that's just what happens. But don't lose that fire. It's important to stay faithful in studying your lessons, and each and every week. And don't lose that focus. Don't stop that. Don't stop doing that. And let me explain something about the importance of studying our lesson. And the importance of Sabbath school, because we will be back with our Sabbath school. But when we do come back to Sabbath school, understand it is important to get back to Sabbath school. I'll tell you a story. A few weeks ago, Bill and I were camping up at the lake, up at Danby, about 30 miles north of Silsby is about how far it is. And while there, we noticed a visit from, we had a nice visit from Charlie and Jennifer Pitts and the kids. And it was cool. It was nice and crisp. And we decided we were going to build a fire. But the problem is we didn't have any wood. We had three, those what they call Duralogs. And you get those at the store. And they burn about 3 hours. Pretty good. But it really didn't make a big fire. But we, like I said, we had no wood. But we had a lot of pine straw all around us. And that pine straw, we had a little rake, and we were raking pine straw and throwing it on the fire. Well, the pine straw was great at first. You put it in there, and it just flames up really good. But at the same time, it went out really, really fast. It didn't last long. It didn't have any substance to it. So we had to keep putting pine straw. We had a lot of pine straw, and we did that all night, or for several hours in the night. But it never did make any good coals in the fire. That straw just it would disintegrate, and then we had to keep adding to it. Not like wood would do. If you had wood, wood is solid and it is substance and it builds and it builds great hot coals in the bottom of that fire, and for it to sustain a good amount of heat so that it can burn for a long time, a lot longer than what pine straw would do. There was just no substance to it to sustain the fire. And so, of course, as long as we were, you know, working ourselves and kept putting wood on, putting straw on the fire, it was going fine. But, you know, once we stopped doing that, very quickly, the fire burned out. So Jesus, in this example, illustration, he shows us that his church is his fire. And remember, John the Baptist in Matthew 3 said, Jesus will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. And like the fire, I just described, the fire needs sustainability. The wood is the sustainable substance that it needs, and the fire we had. But the sustainable wood of the church body is the core of the sustainable wood of a church body, or the core of a church body, is its Sabbath school program. And this is where brothers and sisters that come together and dig deeper and deeper into God's Word. That is where we bounce thoughts off of each other. Sabbath school, it's like the meat. Sabbath school is like the meat of the church, and worship service is more like, I'd say, like the dessert. You know, the body can't live for long on just desserts. That's the truth. So, you know, it is the substance that sustains the church. It strengthens us. So, how can you keep a church going for, and you can keep a church going for a while, just like the straw did for a while to, when we had to keep using it and exhausting ourselves with it, it makes a great fire. You can, you know, go without it for a while, but yeah, it's, you need Sabbath school. So I want everyone to understand that, yeah, Sabbath school is very crucial to our church and to stay with your studies. You know, since the beginning of COVID back in March, churches have been canceled at different times all around the world. And for the reason of safety, churches have opted to virtual forms of worship and Sabbath school classes. You know, we're looking into doing that. You know, some churches in the U.S. increased their membership through virtual worship. Increase their membership, and I thought that's pretty good. So the message, it has been going out, and that is a really good thing, and that's a wonderful thing. But it's not always the case in every church, and you know, it's something that you really have to be aware that some churches don't have that ability. Some people don't have the ability to go online. A lot of people do, but it's not always the case in every church. But you know, we have to take precautions. So we do take precautions to quarantine and practice social distancing and washing our hands and wearing masks so that, you know, we can combat this invisible disease. Yet people faithfully take these measures sometimes, and you know, sometimes they still get sick. We take these careful measures to close down when we have a case develops, and we did have one, and when it develops in our church. But it seems like each time we close down and reopen, we lose a few more members. So, what do we do? Now, what are we going to do? So, where are we in this war? And mind you, it is a war. It is a war with an enemy that we cannot see or hear coming. It's like being in the dark. The thing is, we're looking over our shoulders day and night, wondering when and where will it strike next. And I have a sneaky suspicion that this enemy that is in the dark is not going to go away. But by now, we all know someone who has contracted COVID and is sick or has been sick of COVID or even tragically died from COVID. It's a heartbreaking disease. And so much pain has come from this virus, physically, financially, and even emotionally. We know that Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 21 and Luke 21 that, you know, we would experience famines and war and pestilence. This is definitely pestilence. And right now, the whole world is still in shock right now. We're in, what I kind of would say, in reactive mode at all of this. So, but, you know, we are His church. God stands by His church. He told us this would happen so that we would be prepared. He told us in great detail what to expect. And I refuse to believe that God wants us to hang in limbo and fear from this virus. You know, I refuse to believe that God doesn't have an assignment for all of us while this is going on. You know, He gave us the spirit of prophecy so that we are not caught off guard. And He gave us the health message so that we would be strong and healthy to endure these trials. You know, we are not coming into the end days in the dark like the rest of the world. We know these things. You know, we may be in reactive mode now, but it's time we get out of reactive mode and into proactive mode. You know, don't let the closing of Sabbath school keep you from studying your quarterly, from studying your lessons. Read it, learn it, and be ready when we do come back. But what else can we do that is proactive? So as I said earlier, we're losing members every time we close our doors because the world is focused on COVID. But the numbers show of many that have died, and that's terrible. But at the same time, it has a 97% to 99% recovery rate. We know those that have died, but how many do we know of that had it and recovered? Okay, so if that's true, and that tells me that many have the ability to recover. So let's focus on that, okay? In the past, we know of those in our church who have come down with COVID, and it was tough for them, but there were blessings that came out of that, that nothing short of the movement of the Holy Spirit. And so you think, what is she talking about? What am I talking about? Okay, I'll tell you. Some of our sisters from our church, Sister Jeannie, Sister Carolyn, Sister Jennifer, took it upon themselves and showed absolute, pure, and unselfish love by bringing these people care boxes of food, vitamins, soups, medicine, Vic Salve, these kind of things. And I was thinking, wow. And isn't that not just amazing love? That's showing the love from God right there. And Kiki and I were talking, and we were discussing what they did, and it got us thinking, you know, what are some ways that we as a church can right now be proactive against COVID? Well, it seems like sometimes that our church has forgotten that we do have the health message. And I don't think God gave us a health message just to be healthy, but He gave it to us for healing. And so we have a ministry that fed the hungry. We have Feeds the Hungry, as we still do. We have the bottled water ministry. But what about a ministry of combating COVID through the health message? So, but think, just like the sisters of our church, we could be putting together these care packets of vitamin D, vitamin C, and zinc. What is the other one? What was another vitamin I couldn't think of? But those things, herbal salves, herbal teas, electrolytes, like I said, vegetable soups, you know, these to minister to those of the church who are suffering from the virus or even those that are not of the church. But I do think it is very important that we take care of our own as well, that we do take care of our church members. And I have a feeling this is probably not going to be the last time that we're going to need to minister to people of our church when it comes to COVID. But isn't that what we're supposed to do with for each other in this church? But we can also be spreading out health message as well. Pamphlets to the rest of the world teaching about the importance of how to be healthy to combat these foreign pathogens. I remember a while back, And Brother Perry was teaching us about the importance of having, what is it called, a healthy level of microbiome, well, that is called as that's friendly bacteria in the gut, and to help with fighting of these foreign pathogens. You know, that's an important thing, and I got to thinking about all these things, about what he said, and, you know, that makes sense, because good bacteria fights bad bacteria. And if you don't have an adequate amount of good bacteria, then it's very difficult to fight these foreign pathogens that come along. And that was a very interesting sermon that he gave, and I need to ask him again more about that, but I enjoyed that very much. And as I said, not only people are suffering physically, but there are members who are suffering financially. Someone may have lost their job and can't pay their light bill or their house note. You know, times are really hard for a lot of people. You know, this is an area that our poor fund, you know, a lot of times think about the poor fund, but the poor fund can really help. Maybe think about contributing some of the offering towards that to benefit those of financial need. Because there are people losing their jobs because of this. And then there's the emotional issue. And send members a card or text them and give them a call. Show them that the church loves them and still cares about them. Show them the love of the church. And there's an issue I did not mention, but is the most important, which is spiritual support. You know, Wednesday, the world witnessed a scene that we've never seen before on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. And the world is still in shock from that. But that was something that I thought, well, was that the interesting thing about it was that it came about through all this chaos. The world's now thinking and wondering more about prophecy. You know, when you're seeing these things happen before your eyes, you're thinking, you know, the Bible said these things would happen, things like this. And I got to thinking, this is the perfect opportunity to share prophecy. You know, the world is very curious right now. And I took that opportunity that day to post a few of the Spirit of Prophecy quotes, Ellen White quotes about the days, end days, and was amazed at the responses that I quickly received. I have a cousin that asked what part of the quotes of the quote meant, and it gave me an open door to touch on the three angels' messages, and I was excited to be able to do that with her. And I also shared a video, an Amazing Facts video, to give her some more information. Not to overload her. We don't want to overload people. Sometimes we get in overload mode. Sometimes we get to where we give them too much information, and that can do a lot of damage. But in Mark 24, verse 12, it said, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." So we know from what Scripture says that when lawlessness becomes more and more prevalent, the gospel message is going to go out, and people are going to be curious, and people want to know there's people are scared, and they want to know more and more about prophecy. They want to know more. They're open to it, and that's what God is doing. God is getting hearts ready through this for the message of Jesus Christ. You know, he sometimes has to kind of really get us to, he has to kind of get us in a broken mode to get us to listen, to get us to be receiving of his word. I've been there. I know what that is. And, you know, it's hard. It's difficult. But God can really move in lives through our brokenness. And the world is broken right now. And God can move like nothing else. So God is giving us a great opportunity right now to share the three angels' message, because the time is so ripe right now. This is ministry, in this ministry time to the world, and to our own churches as well. It is ministry time. And we can be a church of warriors that run into the battle. So we have to keep seeking God and His guidance through His Word and through fervent prayer. The Holy Spirit will direct us through all of this, but we have to stay obedient. If we want to see the fire, we have to stay faithful and obedient. But let's be warriors for Christ. When we do get back to full services in church, please be ready. Please, let's not get lax in our fellowship with our church family. It's really easy to say, you know, I'll just stay home and watch online. It's really easy to do that. And, you know, but how many times do we get distracted when we're watching it online? You know, you think your phone might ring, you know, I have to get up and go get a snack or need to go to the bathroom or someone's going to interrupt. Or so before you realize that you're wandering and thinking, I need to check Facebook and see what's going on. You know, it's real easy to get distracted at home, to not be focused. And, you know, another thing is, are the kids staying seated watching the program, watching the message from the pastor? A lot of times that's probably not happening. Also, in time, staying at home becomes a new habit. And a new habit of being almost too comfortable. A habit of disfellowship from our brothers and our sisters, which can quickly lead to being disconnected to God's people, and then sometimes to God Himself without realizing it. Now, of course, there are those who have to stay home. That's important that they do stay home, the elderly and those that have, you know, their systems are immune compromised. You know, those are the ones that do need to stay home and be safe. That's understandable. But for most of us, let's be here when the doors are open. Let's be here. Let's support our fellow other Christians, our brothers and sisters. Let's be there for each other. Let's keep the fellowship alive in the church. And let's come to a church to refuel our fire. That we can, you know, go out into the world after we've been refueled and be ready to preach the gospel of Christ. In the words of the Spirit of Prophecy, I'm going to read this quote, and it goes like this. Ellen White quotes Hebrews 10:25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching." Hebrews 10:25. "Those who are of the household of faith should never neglect the assembly of themselves together, for this is God's appointed means of leading His children into unity, in order that in Christian love and fellowship they may help, strengthen, and encourage one another. As brethren of our Lord, we are called with a holy calling to a holy, happy time. Having entered the narrow path of obedience, let us refresh our minds by communion with one another and with God. As we see the day of God approaching, let us meet often to study His Word and to exhort one another to be faithful unto the end. These earthly assemblies are God's appointed means by which we have opportunity to speak with one another and to gather all the help possible to prepare in the right way to receive in the heavenly assemblies the fulfillment of the pledges of our inheritance. Remember that in every assembly you meet with Christ, the Master of Assemblies. Encourage a personal interest in one another, for it is not enough simply to know them. We must know men in Christ Jesus. We are enjoined to consider one another. This is the keynote of the gospel. The keynote of the world is self." And I thought that was a beautiful, beautiful quote from her. So let's remember, when it is time, when we do get back to Sabbath school, let's be here. Let's be here. Now, next Sabbath, we will be having church services reopen. We will not be having Sabbath school, but we will have services. Please join us. We want to see you. We want to fellowship with you. We want to spend time with you. It is a refreshing, a renewal every Sabbath. And I look forward to seeing you again next Sabbath. I love you all. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. thank you for your beautiful word. We love reading your word. Your word is life. It is food to our soul. And food to our soul also is our fellowship with our brothers and sisters. And we thank you. We thank you that you established this. You have set this up for us to spend time together and refresh with each other. Thank you so much that you are refreshing light to our soul. And you thank you for your love and for loving us first, as you always have. And we love you too. Help us to serve you and seek you and see what your will is for us in our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Sabbath, everyone. And I will see you next time. Bye-bye.